good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is such a pleasure to have you joining me today on Pentecost Sunday. So welcome to Sally and John and RuPaulie to join us for today's session of Trinity Talks. Now, today I'm excited to have you, Sally, you being the Welcome and Connections Director here at Trinity, because I was hoping we could talk about the theme of hospitality, which I know is such an important part of not only our life here at the church, but also our lives in general. And Jesus calls us into a life of hospitality. So I was hoping that together, the four of us could unpack that here today. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Exciting.
Sounds good.
Do the best we can.
Do the best we can, and that's all we can hope for.
Yeah.
But I did want to, just before we get started, if you were here with us during the first service, you would see that we are starting to talk through the fruit of the Spirit. And each week here at Trinity, we're going to be sort of focusing and highlighting on a specific fruit. So I would be amiss if I didn't ask you what your favorite fruit is.
I love guavas.
Oh, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I love a lot of fruit, but guavas are really special and not always easy to come by here in Canada.
That's right.
In the way that you can experience the guava in a different culture, right? Where it's fresh and...
Yeah.
So guavas for sure.
Guavas for Sally. Okay.
For me, it's mangoes.
Mangoes. Well, just a side note, you're going to want to make sure that you're here at Trinity next week because mango is going to be our featured fruit.
Wow.
That's great.
Mango, exactly the same.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We're going to be fighting over the mangoes.
That's right. We'll make sure there's two mangoes at least for John and RuPaulie next week. And
please.
I'm sorry, Sally, I don't think guava made the cut.
That's okay. It's not a super common fruit, but maybe one of you would have a mango recipe then to submit.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
all right, we'll be waiting. Now, we need to continue on with the theme of fruit because I just want to have a lot of fruit fun with you today. So, Sally, beside you, you will see a yellow bag. And it is my Bananagrams game. Now, and I'm not sure if anyone here has played Bananagrams, and I promise I'm not sponsored by Bananagrams. But if you've ever played this game, it's kind of like Scrabble. There's a bunch of letters, and you rearrange the tiles on a table. It's a fast-paced, fun game. Literally just did an unsolicited plug for Bananagrams there. But I was hoping that each of you could just draw a letter out of the Bananagrams bag and then tell us something about yourselves that begins with or revolves around that letter.
Mm.
All right. So once you got your letter, just pass it along. Perfect. If you spill the banana tiles, you will have to pick them up.
Here we go.
I made it.
Just open the bag really small, right?
That's right. I know. It wouldn't be the first time in our house, that thing all over the place. Well, anyway, so each of you have your letter. Take a look at your letter, and maybe you could just tell us a little bit about yourself with something to do with that letter.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
My letter is A.
All right. You lucked out.
Yeah. Which actually, my maiden name was Anderson. So Sally Anderson is very familiar to my ears.
Yes.
Maybe not to your ears.
Part of one of your initials growing up.
Yeah. And talking about initials, mine were SA, which also stands for South Africa, which is where I grew up. So A for Africa.
A for Anderson.
Yeah, so have a heart for Africa.
Wonderful. And A for effort for that answer. Well done.
Okay. J for John.
J for John.
Oh, good one. Good pick.
John, your name. Perfect.
Yeah. So tell me. What do I say about myself? Well, I'm a tool and die maker, so I guess jigs would be in there because they're part of what we do. We make jigs to guide steel and all that stuff when we're machining them and that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
yes. So, we were talking before. You're very handy.
Mm-hmm.
So
somewhat.
Jigs. Okay. Somewhat. In some aspects.
Yeah.
We'll ask his wife. No. Okay, RuPaulie, what letter did you get?
So I got the letter O.
Okay.
And... I can say that I'm 100% optimistic.
Love it.
And I definitely like to stand out. So outstanding, I would say. So those are my two words.
Optimistic, awesome. Outstanding. You guys really rose to the occasion. Thank you. That was great. All right. What a fun game. We'll have to bring that one back. So I do want to just get started talking a little bit about hospitality now. And Sally, being the Welcome and Connections Director here, could you tell us a little bit about what that role entails?
Sure. Yeah, so the Welcome and Connections Director role is basically what it sounds like. I have the privilege of sort of coming alongside those who are new in our Trinity family, and just along with the amazing Welcome team, which has about 60 people on it, the Trinity Welcome team, we want to welcome people. Mm-hmm. We want to make people feel like they've come home, that they belong, that they're important, that they're seen, and also ultimately to welcome them into the family of faith. So, you know, to introduce them to those welcoming arms of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, and in terms of connections, mm-hmm. usually that's sort of the piece that follows welcome. And so it's all about introducing people, inviting people, drawing them into the family mm-hmm. in whatever way they're ready for and in whatever way God has in store for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is an interesting part of the job, is that really everyone is at a very different space and place when it comes to how they like to be welcomed and connected. And so just really discerning and listening to their stories and where they'd like to connect mm-hmm. along however many months or years it takes them to want to connect. So, yeah.
I love that. That really ties in with our sort of our theme here at Trinity, is learning to love Jesus in our own time. So I think that's mm-hmm. really wise. And first of all, if you ever come into the church, you might see Sally around our welcome desk or out in the lobby. And I'm just wondering, what motivates you in this role? So you're always there with a smile. You do such a great job at, like you said, welcoming, but also connecting other people. So what gives you that motivation?
It's actually interesting because Elizabeth and I were talking about this earlier in the week. Yeah. And I was glad for that conversation because I sort of thought, oh, what does motivate me? I know I am motivated, but mm-hmm. I didn't really know why. And so I took some time to think about it, talk to Elizabeth. And I think actually my upbringing plays a big part in my motivation mm-hmm. as well as my faith. So I think in terms of upbringing, I grew up in South Africa. At that time, apartheid was still the regime. So obviously a very significant and large separation between whites and blacks and mm-hmm. people of color. You know, so simple things like not being able to go to the same schools, not being able to marry a person the opposite color of you, not being able to ride public transit together, all those, you know, day-to-day things. It was very separate. Mm. And so I think then growing up in a Christian family and learning about the love of Jesus and how Jesus welcomes all was in contrast to my sort of political environment in
wow.
South Africa. Yeah, so I think that must have done something as a child to kind of like create that contrast mm-hmm. for me. And then I would say we actually moved and emigrated to Canada when I was 12.
Yeah.
And so I was the newbie and I was the new person on the block, right?
Yeah.
And we actually moved quite a bit. So I would say every 4 to 5 years we relocated. And so I really got lots of chances to be the new person. New schools and classrooms and neighborhoods and churches and social groups and, you know, extracurriculars. And so I think through me, like almost being forced to be new, I now knew, okay, wow, there was some times that I was welcomed super warmly and there was some times that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so again, just that contrast of what is it to actually be welcomed genuinely into a situation where those people probably have known each other for a really long time.
Right.
So I think just my upbringing has really sort of given me that scaffolding for this role. And then, of course, like just the way that Jesus welcomes us, right? Mm-hmm. And just even looking at Jesus' life in ministry and how he welcomed so many that really weren't in that culture usually welcomed. Whether it was, you know, women, mm-hmm. Whether it was, you know, lepers, and people that were sort of shifted or pushed to the outskirts of society. Mm-hmm. And he himself wasn't always welcomed, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, they had a hard time finding a manger for him. Or
right,
you know,
from the beginning. That's a great parallel. Yep.
Yeah. Or him being, you know, him and his family needing to flee to Egypt, you know, in his early years. And then obviously the cross. So I think when we look at the life and ministry of Jesus, it can't but inspire, you know, us to, if we're following him.
Yeah.
And if we're trying to live like him. Mm-hmm. to try and be like-minded.
I love that. Yeah. So that's great. Well, thank you for all you do, first of all, here at Trinity.
It's my pleasure.
Which is so great.
It's my pleasure.
And then I'd love to just even just shift over to John and Rupali, who actually have come to Trinity fairly recently, within the last few months, within the year.
Yeah.
I was wondering if each of you could tell us your story of maybe where you were before you came to this church, and then also what your experience was when you came in through the doors. Mm-hmm. So feel free to...
Do you want to start? Or
okay.
You want to start?
All right, Rupali, you're up.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I'm fairly new to Canada. It's been a few years that I'm here. Mm-hmm. And initially, before coming to this place, I was in London, Ontario. And unfortunately, I couldn't find a good community, and I was pretty lonely there and quite sad and depressed in my life. And then that's when I thought of moving out of that place, and I moved in, you know, close to Toronto.
Okay.
And one of my friend, Moses, he used to be a part of this church, and he has moved to the U.S. now.
Mm-hmm.
But he, while talking to him on the phone, he introduced me. He told me about this church, and he introduced me to Pradeep, Shireen, and Kathy, and eventually I got connected to Sally, and that's how it all began. And I'm here now. It's
Wonderful.
Been 7 months.
And just so everyone knows, we actually had to pull Rupali off of the cameras. So she was working the cameras over there in the sanctuary for our service. So you've gotten quite involved already. It's wonderful. All right. And what about you, John?
Oh, well, I guess the seeds were planted a long time ago with my grandfather.
Yes.
I never grew up in a church background at all.
No.
But he told me things when I was very young about Jesus and how he was a carpenter. So I was down in the basement, and I would every Sunday be working on my woodworking.
Yeah.
And I always think about him and think about what he told me and all that stuff. And I know I was baptized Anglican. So I was like, okay, I'm going to check out, see if there's a Anglican church online I can see.
Yeah.
I found this church online, and just as I found it, a service was starting.
Uh-huh.
So that's when I started to watch it, and I was like, yeah, this is a place for me, you know, like I really, really thought, okay, I'm going to definitely step foot in this place and see how I like it.
We love
it.
And look at you now. You're sitting here with headphones on having a conversation with us. Isn't that great? And I love that you brought up the word seeds, because we were just talking about gardens earlier in our service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it is, the gardener, right?
Yeah, but my seeds were planted a long time ago, and they just sprouted now.
Ah, that's...
You know, so that's... That's how it works, I guess, sometimes.
That's right. We never know, do we?
God's timing, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're using the word hospitality, and I can already see it from a few different lenses here that you've brought out. And I mean, even in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, and I want to make sure I quote this properly here, but in Romans 12:13, Paul writes that we are called to contribute to the needs of the saints and practice hospitality. So right there in the Bible, we have this calling to do this form of practice. Now, I'm wondering, just from your own perspectives, what are some of the challenges that we as a church may experience? And I'm not just talking about you three or us four, but I'm talking about the church as a whole in terms of practicing hospitality, even though we know that it's such a good thing. Mm. What might hinder that practice, do you think?
Well, for myself, I think it's just something you have to practice on a daily. You don't leave it for church. You have to do it every day.
Yeah.
Like prayer, it's got to be done every day.
Mm.
And I think as you do it more and more, it just becomes stronger and stronger.
Like a muscle.
Yeah, like a muscle, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't use it, obviously, you're not very good at it. So or if you wait just till Sundays, you're not going to get strong at it. But if you do it every day, like somebody that works out at a gym, they do it every day or every other day. They're not going once a week because you won't see any change that way.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Great.
It's just an opinion, but that's what I think. You know, the challenge is the church, I think the church does the best it can, but I think really it's up to the individual to step up and practice it, you know?
Yeah, I love that, John, because I think as much as we can have like a position for a welcome and connections director or a welcome team, it really is all of our calling, right? So that every person within our Trinity family is called by Christ mm-hmm. to welcome
right.
and to practice hospitality and to practice that radical hospitality like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're all doing it and all motivating and encouraging each other
mm-hmm.
to sort of notice
mm-hmm.
who in our midst might be new or might be lonely
mm-hmm.
or might be having a tough day,
mm-hmm.
Right? And I think hospitality can be extended for sure to new people, absolutely. But also there's ongoing hospitality, right? So someone who may have been coming here for years, sometimes it's surprising. They may not know that many people. They may still need an introduction or an invitation. And maybe they're having a particularly bad day or moment in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and they need to be noticed for what they're going through as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, I love what you said about it's all of our job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just an opinion.
Yeah, and just to add on to both John and Sally, what they said, I believe that it also depends on the person. The person could be a little bit ambivert or introvert, and those people definitely need more encouragement and more push. So if we can just smile and open up to them, we can get them started. We can keep introducing them. So that's
mm-hmm.
One thing that I noticed. And I believe that Sally is definitely so good at introducing new people to the old people. And, you know, like, she definitely does that best.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, and I love to do it, but I encourage everyone to do it,
yes.
right? Because it really is a community affair, if you will, right?
Absolutely.
We are all gifted in introducing and being a part of that, for sure. I would say, back to your question about challenges for a church, Elizabeth, in terms of practicing hospitality. I mean, obviously, you know, there's people that have been part of our church community for decades, which is a really wonderful thing. But I think it's really easy as humans for us to get very familiar and sort of forget what it is to be new.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's really easy for us to make friendships, and we're trying to help people connect and build community,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's a good thing. But it can turn into maybe not so much of a good thing when it becomes a bit cliquey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we'll get to some challenges later on at the end of the podcast about how we can challenge each other to make sure that we're not a cliquey family, right? That we always are, yes, engaging in those relationships that we're enjoying and meeting people and, you know, meeting with our friends too, but also always keeping an eye for those who are new amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's always a challenge with any church, is the possibility of it becoming a little too groupy or cliquey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Actually, there was a lot of wisdom in what each of you said. I would love to even summarize that in the comments below in this, because there was a lot of really good takeaways, I think, from each one of you, even down to just extending a smile, practicing it outside the church, and then mm-hmm. being aware of our comfort zones or mm-hmm. our comfort people, and looking outside and just sort of widening the gate, I mm-hmm. suppose, right? Opening mm-hmm. up our arms to those people. Mm-hmm. So, Sally, you mentioned that you were listening to, I guess maybe it was a podcast or a conference, and in there were some challenges extended to not just people who were in your role, but really to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that maybe if you could share those challenges, maybe some of us would like to take those on.
Sure, yeah. So there's two challenges. The first one is called the 3-minute challenge, which is basically try to spend at least 3 minutes each Sunday,
yeah.
or maybe any gathering you're at for that mm-hmm. matter. It doesn't just have to be church. Talking to someone you usually wouldn't talk to,
mm-hmm.
right? And I love that. So it's really manageable. It's just 3 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a whole long, deep conversation, but just having, it would be amazing if at Trinity we continue this, atmosphere of trying to always be talking to not just our friends, but others as well, right?
Yeah.
So that's
right.
The 3-minute challenge.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's the 10-foot challenge.
10-foot challenge.
A little bit more daunting, but perhaps not.
Okay.
I know, right? That's, yeah, a little big of a number.
Yeah.
But basically, to sort of have a radius of 10 feet around you and to be aware of that radius, almost like, you know, a bubble of 10 feet, and to
mm-hmm.
say, okay, who's around me right now? Whether when I'm sitting in the pew, and we sort of do that practice every Sunday, right, by greeting each other, those
mm-hmm.
that are around us,
mm-hmm.
But also to extend that then to the lobby, to coffee hour, you know, who's around me? Am I aware of who's around me? And especially if there's anyone around me that may not have anyone to talk to at this moment, or may seem a little bit sad today, or maybe a little bit lost. Maybe it's their first time and they're not sure what's happening next, right? So just that 10-foot challenge of being aware of our environment and reaching out then to those within our environment that might need a reach out.
I think those are great.
I think one thing, too, is you have to be present in mind when you're talking to people. Don't be talking to people and have a grocery list or I got to do this or got to do that. When you're talking to somebody, focus on what they're saying as well. You know, don't be so concerned of what your thoughts are. Mm-hmm. Think of what they're thinking. Really open yourself up to the person, because a lot of people do that. They'll talk to somebody, but meanwhile, they've got a dialogue going on in their head and you can see it on their face, you know, and that's an important thing because people can pick up on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know? Don't, if you're going to go and talk to somebody, go and talk to them. Listen to what they're saying. Don't do it just because you feel like you have to do it. Really be present when you're doing it. Yeah. That's what I feel.
And I think that's what Jesus did, right? So I think, like, if we can sort of anchor this ministry and practice of hospitality in our faith, right? That we're doing it not because we do it well, but because Jesus and his spirit, like we talked about today, is in us. And he's the one that's helping us to do this well, right? And then, Jesus, didn't he? He was always about the other person. It sort of wasn't his own agenda. It was, how are you doing today? How can I help you? And really listening and really meeting that person where they were at.
And then you get people to accept you more when you know they're listening. A lot of times people just want to be seen. You know, maybe not necessarily... You have to say something to them. Maybe just they just want to be seen. I'm a lonely person, and I come here because I don't know anybody, or I just want to be seen. And some people just want to be seen, you know. And sometimes that's all you have to give them. That's what I got when I got here.
That's so nice.
You know, they stood back, they let me in nicely, but after coming here for the first time, I never had an experience like that in church. And when I came out, I was like, this was like being, you ever been to a family party, like a close family party?
Sure.
That's what it was like when I left here. I was like, these people, they're a family. You know, it's all level ground here. So I just, it's a great church.
What a great note to leave on, guys. I think that's, it was a great conversation. It was a little shorter than usual because we got started a little later, but I feel like we really made the most of this talk right now, guys. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
I would love to have you back because you were wonderful guests.
Thank you so much.
But I'll let you go off to get your coffee and your cookies now.
Okay.
And a happy Pentecost Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.